tells the story of Jesus encountering resistance from many quarters when he arrived in Jerusalem. And our text centers on the opposition from the Sadducees. Now, a little joke here. You know why the Sadducees were Sadducee? Well, they didn't believe in the resurrection. Anyway, okay. Now, the Sadducees were closely linked to the high priest in the temple. They opposed the Pharisees, a more lay-oriented faction in Judaism. In fact, the Sadducees and the Pharisees disagreed about one key issue, the resurrection of the dead. The Sadducees dismissed this idea, and the Pharisees defended it. In this case, Jesus agreed with the Pharisees. Now, the Sadducees present what to them was an ironclad argument against the resurrection. Their argument drew upon the Levirate marriage custom that's found in Deuteronomy 25. So if a man were to die childless, the deceased man's brother would marry the widow, the sister-in-law. They would have a child together to preserve the man's name in the community. And that custom was based on the law of Moses, a law, I might say, thankfully, we do not follow. Anyway. So the Sadducees also drew on one of the books of what is called the Old Testament Apocrypha. It's called Tobit. I'm not making this up. It tells the story of a woman named Sarah who marries six brothers in turn who all die on the wedding night. Let that sink in for just a second. Why would the second and the third? Anyway. But it turns out that Sarah is afflicted with a demon who kills all six husbands. Finally, Tobias, the seventh brother, with the help of the angel Raphael, defeats the demon. Then Sarah and Tobias are married and they live happily ever after. And really, I'm not making that up. You can read that. So the background for this confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees is both the Levirate marriage custom as well as the book of Tobit. So the Sadducees wonder out loud to Jesus, so the woman that got married to seven husbands, whose wife would she be in the resurrection? So they are trying to make the whole idea of the resurrection just seem preposterous. That's called a bad faith argument, and Jesus knew it. So in this debate, Jesus endorses a minority view in the Jewish tradition that said there would be a resurrection from the dead. For instance, Daniel 12, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Isaiah 26, your dead shall live, their corpses shall rise. And Ezekiel 37, the valley of dry bones. Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your tombs and bring you up from the grave. So based on these passages, Jesus uses the following phrases about the resurrection. Those who were counted worthy to that age, they cannot die anymore. Equal to angels, children of God, and my favorite, children of the resurrection. These are faith statements grounded in the prophetic hope. Jesus even references a story in the law of Moses, that is the book of Exodus, where Moses encounters that burning bush. God speaks to Moses, identifying himself in this remarkable way. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Jesus interprets this self-identification as saying this, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. So in the presence of God, human life continues world without end. Even the patriarchs, long dead, live before God. And thus God can resurrect the dead who will live forever before him. So Jesus draws on the words of the law and the prophets to proclaim the resurrection of the dead. And that is why the scribes, who are allied with the Pharisees, say of Jesus' claims, "Teacher, you have spoken well." But, what Jesus rejects is the idea that the world to come is identical to our world. Those are different, especially our world filled with marriages. For Jesus, the world to come is not defined by marriage, unless you wanted to define it as the marriage of the Lamb to the people of God. He says in the resurrection from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. So the question that the Sadducees pose is really a nonsense question. It does not apply to that spiritual realm of that new heaven and the new earth. Our relationships with one another will be transformed by divine love, not marital love, but God's endless love. Do you remember your marriage vows? Maybe you've forgotten that little phrase, "Till death do us part." Remember that? But death will not part us from God's love. As Paul says so well, love never ends. So if I were to entitle this exchange between Jesus and the Sadducees, I would call it this: the hope of the resurrection people. We are a resurrection people committed to this powerful hope that life has a promise and a destiny that endures forever. And that gives our present life, our life in the world and our life in the church, confidence and assurance. We can live, sisters and brothers, without fear, without dread, and without anxiety, even in the face of death. The psalmist says it so wonderfully. Our times are in your hands, O Lord. So when we live anxious, free lives, we become much better disciples of Jesus. We are free to love, we are free to serve, and free to act boldly. Resurrection people have this deep-seated conviction that death is not the last word, nor is despair. We see things that are broken and in disarray, and yet we say with the prophet Ezekiel, these bones can yet live again. In other words, we never lose hope and we never lose heart, however bleak things may appear in the world, in the church, or in our personal lives. A spirit of life and hope can always revive us when we are distressed or deeply discouraged. That is precisely what makes us resurrection people. We never part company with hope. Even when the darkness all around us is deep indeed, even at the grave, we make our confession. In life and in death, we belong to God. So, we can confront the dark places with this indomitable spirit, this resurrection spirit. We see the ruins of Gaza. We see the destroyed apartments in Ukraine, the dreadful civil war in Syria, the ravages of climate change, and the sorry dysfunction of our federal government. And yet we do not despair. We face all these issues in the world and in our lives, and we bring with it a resurrection hope that says that sin and hatred and destruction do not ultimately prevail. We believe, brothers and sisters, that Jesus rose from the dead and that our hopes can rise with him from the ashes. Now, a final word about our text in Luke's gospel, a text I spent 6 months on. Jesus engages in this dispute with the Sadducees not as a mere theological tit for tat. Rather, he has arrived in Jerusalem, his destination and his destiny. What Jesus is claiming about the resurrection applies to him personally. And in a matter of days, he too will go through the valley of the shadow of death to rise as a child of the resurrection. He will overcome death and live forever before God. So this is not just a theological theory for him. The resurrection of the dead is what sustains him and gives him courage to face that dark hour. And that hope should sustain us as well. As we confess with the psalmist, our times are in your hands. So friends in Christ, let's remember something this morning. Let's remember who we are. We are resurrection people. And in the face of despair and disorder, in the face of disease and death, we stake our lives on this claim. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Thanks be to God. Amen.